As we dive into the book of Revelations today and take a look at this scroll that's being opened in the holiest of holies in heaven, we're going to open a couple more seals. And I don't know if you ever find yourself in situations like this, but sometimes I get into, well, more than sometimes, often I get into situations where I think, this is way too big for me. I am overwhelmed, and but most of the time I end up getting after it anyway, even though it seems way too big. And the message that I wrote for March 27th, 2022, titled The Seven Trumpets, covering Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 21, which is chapter 9, it seems too big for me to cover. We've had some guest speakers at church, and I can either not do a section of scripture that was scheduled for that Sunday, or I can double up and try to catch up. And this is a double up and catch up message. So I'll try to stick to just the facts and not wander off in any of my stories. The outline is the seven trumpets. Point number one, the fifth angel blew his trumpet. Point number two, the sixth angel blew his trumpet. So that's your outline. Fifth angel blew his trumpet. Sixth angel blew his trumpet. I'd like us to look at two things as we investigate these verses in scriptures. Two things. First, what did God do? First thing I want you to look for is, what did God do? Second, what did people do? What did people do? So what did God do? What did the people do? Revelations chapter 9, verses 1 to 21. I chose the NIV Reader's Version. And let's see if I can read this without coughing. The fifth angel blew his trumpet. Then I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to earth. The star was given the key to the tunnel leading down into the abyss. When the star opened the abyss, smoke rose up from it like smoke from a huge furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Out of the smoke came locusts. They settled down on the earth. They were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree. They were supposed to harm only the people who did not have God's seal on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but they could hurt them over and over for 5 months. The pain the people suffered was like the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, people will look for a way to die, but won't find it. They will want to die, but death will escape them. The locusts looked like horses ready for battle. On their heads, they wore something like the crowns of gold. Their faces looked like human faces. Their hair was like a woman's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. Their chests were covered with something that looked like armor made out of iron. The sound of their wings was like that of a thundering horses and chariots rushing into a battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions. And in their tails, they had the power to hurt people over and over for 5 months. Their king was the angel of the abyss. In the Hebrew language, his name is Abaddon. In the Greek, Apollyon. The first terrible judgment is past. Two others are still to come. The sixth angel blew his trumpet. Then I heard a voice coming from the corners of the golden altar that stands in front of God. The voice spoke, and the sixth angel who had the trumpet, he said, "Set the four angels free who are held at the great river Euphrates." The four angels had been ready for this very hour and day and month and year. They were set free to kill a third of the people. The number of troops on horseback was 200 million. I heard how many there were. The horses and riders I saw in my vision had armor on their chests. It was flaming red, dark blue, yellow, like sulfur. Their heads of the horses looked like lions' heads. Out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of all the people were killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of the horses' mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails. The tails were like snakes whose head could bite. The people who were not killed by the plagues still did not turn away from what they had been doing. They did not stop worshiping demons. They kept worshiping statues of gold, gods that were made out of gold, silver, bronze, and stone, wood, which can't see or hear or walk. The people also did not turn away from their murderous witchcraft, sexual sins, and stealing. That's the end of chapter 9 in Revelations. Okay, let's take a step back and try to look at all this as a big picture thought or idea. Big picture idea. Last week, what did we see God using to bring his righteous judgment on his creation? What do you remember from last week's chapter 8 of Revelations? God used natural disasters to bring his judgment on one-third of all there is. Natural disasters, hail, fire, meteors, comets, tidal waves, sun, moon, stars, all natural created things. Can you agree with me on that idea? Now this week, God will use created things as well. Did you see this as we read Revelation chapter 9? Did you see it? This week, God uses created beings, we call them demons, to bring his righteous judgment. Demons. God will send and let loose demons who have been kept in confinement since before the creation of the world. So, Wilmer, what do you think this means? Well, thanks for asking. God is demonstrating his complete control over nature and spiritual realm. I think that's what he's doing in these two things, using natural things and now using spiritual beings. He's demonstrating his complete control over all there is in nature and all there is in the spiritual realm as well. So our outline, the seven trumpets. Number one, the fifth angel blew his trumpet. God will start with the most powerful evil demon, Satan. We call him Satan. Okay, we should do a little backstory on Satan and demons here. They're evil spirits who are ruled by Satan. Their normal job description is to tempt people to sin. They're not created by Satan. God created all things. That includes all the angels. They're not born, they were created. Demons are fallen angels who joined with Satan in a rebellion against God. God limits what they can do. They can do nothing without God's permission. So these demons are fallen angels who joined in a rebellion with Satan in heaven. And now they're cast out of heaven and have changed dramatically. Their main purpose on earth is to prevent or distort or destroy people's relationship with God. That's their main purpose. Because they are at heart corrupt and degenerate, their appearance reflects this distortion of their evil. So, because of what's going on in them over the millenniums of centuries, they have sort of morphodited into the creatures we see here. So I thought about a section of scripture that is entitled The Return of the 72 Disciples. Do you remember when we studied the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18? I'm going to read from the NIV Reader's Version, but Jesus had been working in his ministry for some time, and he ordained 72 elders and sent them out ahead of him to prepare the places that he was going to come. The other 12 disciples stayed with him as they did that. So here's what scripture says, Luke 10, 17 to 18. The 72 returned with joy. They said, Lord, even the demons obey us when we speak in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The end. So Jesus is saying, before all the world was, he saw Satan falling, kicked out of heaven like a bolt of lightning. So A on your outline, I saw a star plummet from heaven to earth. And your blank is star. I saw a star plummet from heaven to earth. Your blank is star. The star was handed a key to the well of the abyss. Now, let's note here that we look at this, it's something important. God gives him this key. He can only do what God lets him do. This is true from the book of Job, the oldest of all books in the Bible, to the book of Revelations. I'll tell you this several times today, so maybe it'll get through to you, but these demons can only do what God lets them do. Job's the oldest book in the Bible, and when you read that, it gives us some of the best understanding of the relationship with the angels and God and what they do on a regular basis. And God has these conversations with Satan, and they agree that Satan can do these things to Job, but they can only go this far. So, B on your outline. He unlocked the well of the abyss. B, he unlocked the well of the abyss. And your blank is unlocked. Smoke poured out of the well. Billows and billows of smoke. The sun and air in blackout from the smoke pouring out of the well. That's Mr. Peterson's quote on that passage. There is a bottomless pit. Literally, the pit of abyss. This will show up 7 times in Revelations. This abyss always refers to the prison where some demons are held. This is a place of severest torment and isolation. Try to let your imagination try to figure out. You fall into a hole that has no bottom. That would be a rather scary experience to do in the dark, wouldn't it? C on your outline. Then out of the smoke crawled locusts with vermin of scorpions. C. Then out of the smoke crawled locusts with the vermin of, venom of scorpions. Read that one wrong. So crawled and locust are your two blanks. These created beings are demons. The Message translation of Revelations 9, 7 to 11 reads like this. The locusts looked like horses ready for war. They had golden crowns and human faces, woman's hair and teeth of lions, and iron breastplates. The sound of their wings was the sound of horse-drawn chariots charging into battle. Their tails were equipped with stingers, like the scorpion tails. With those tails, they were ordered to torture human race for 5 months. They had a king over them, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon and Apollyon in Greek, and it's translated destroyer. That's the end of Mr. Peterson's translation. So I put a picture into my PowerPoint of one of these locust beings crawling out of the abyss. When I used the Firefox search engine and looked up Revelations 9, some of the images that are there are really striking. Sometime you should do it just to see what the artists have done. Now, back to our text. God lets these demons be the nasty best for 5 months. I'm thinking that's because these things know they only have 5 months to do their mischief, so they get at it. They have been waiting for countless centuries, and now they only have 5 months to do their dirty work. You can bet they really get after it. D on your outline, they were given their orders. They were given their orders. So your two blanks are given orders. Note here again that these things can only do as they are ordered. That's all they can do is what God orders them to do. Number one, don't hurt the grass. Don't hurt anything green. Don't hurt a single tree. Only men and women, and then only those who lack the seal of God on their foreheads. Number two, they were ordered torture, but don't kill. Torture them for 5 months. The pain of a scorpion sting. Wow. Next, we get to look at our first look at what the people are doing. So, all we've done so far is what God is doing. Now let's look at what the people are doing. And note that these people can only do what God lets them. They cannot do what they want. Make note of that as we look in this scripture. They want to do something, but they cannot do it because of God's limits. Note that there was a time when God let people have an opportunity of free choice. A time like that has passed. We live in what they call the age of grace. And in our time period, we have free choice. God lets us exercise our free wills and essentially do anything we want to do. But when we look at this passage of Revelation chapter 9, that time is gone. The page of that calendar has turned. There are some people who have been sealed by God for eternal paradise with the three of them. Then there is a group of people who are destined for something much less. You may or may not remember back in chapter 7 that all people were separated into two groups, people with God's seal and people without God's seal. So back in chapter 7, all of humanity was divided into two groups. You either had God's seal on your forehead or you didn't. Now, for the people who have God's mark, things are only going to get better. For the people who do not have God's mark, things are only going to get worse. That's pretty dramatically different. The believers that experience this on earth, everything's going to get better for them. Come to think of it, when we die, everything will get better for us too. But for the people who don't have God's seal, it's only going to get worse. So E on your outline, when this happens, people are going to prefer death to torture. Look for ways to kill themselves. That's a long sentence, isn't it? When this happens, people are going to prefer death to torture and look for ways to kill themselves. So I gave you three blanks. Prefer death, torture. But they won't find a way. Death will have gone into hiding. They would rather commit suicide than experience this torture. But they can't do that. The first doom is past. Two more dooms yet to come. So our outline, seven trumpets, we looked at the fifth angel when he blew his trumpet. Now number two, the sixth angel blew his trumpet. A, on your outline, a voice speaking to the sixth angel from the horns of the golden incense altar. A voice speaking to the sixth angel from the horns of the golden incense altar. And I gave you four blanks. Voice speaking, incense altar. And he said, let the four angels loose, the angels confined by the great river Euphrates. So let's start at the incense altar. We've understood that this is where the prayers of the saints of God asking for judgment come from, are at the base of this altar. And back in the early times of the temple, when they created the incense altar, the horns on the four corners of the incense altar where one could go find a place of mercy. So you could literally have somebody chasing you to kill you. And if you could get through and get to the temple and grab a hold of the corner of the altar of incense, he couldn't touch you. Now, he could lay in wait. As soon as you let go of it and came out of the temple, he could let you have it. But hanging on to the incense altar gave you mercy. It was in front of God's mercy seat. In Revelations 9, that time of mercy has passed. God's grace has become unavailable in this time. God's gift of mercy have been boxed up and put on the shelf. By the time we get to Revelations 9, mercy and grace just aren't available to those people who don't have the seal. B on the outline. The four angels were untied and let loose. B, the four angels were untied and let loose. You have four blanks. Four angels let loose. Four angels all prepared for the exact year, month, day, and even hour when they will kill one-third of the human race. That's a quote from Mr. Peterson. Look at that. These angels have been waiting for this exact year, this exact month, this exact day, this exact hour. You could go down to minutes and milliseconds, but it has been planned, scheduled, and scripted since before the creation of the earth, exactly when these four angels get loose. See on your outline, the number of troops on horseback was 200 million. 200 million of these creatures on these nasty horses. 200 million, that's a lot. When they confiscated Mr. Putin's yacht the other day, it was worth 170 million. And, you know, confiscating that seemed like a really big number to me at that time. His yacht was worth $170 million. That's a big, awesome boat. Today, the Chinese have a 2 million man mounted horse cavalry. I was in the armored cavalry of the United States in the 80s, and that's where I got this number. They told us that at that time, China had a 2 million man mounted horse cavalry. Their idea is that most other militaries are going to run out of fuel, like the Russians have in their attack in Europe, or like the Germans did when they went trying to attack Russia. Those big tanks are awesome, but when they run out of diesel, they aren't going to do a single thing. And the Chinese think there's grass in most places, so we'll attack like Genghis Khan with a 2 million man cavalry, and we won't run out of fuel. Horses will find something to eat almost everywhere. So now then, the New International Reader's Version of 9:17-19 goes like this. The horses and riders I saw in my vision had armor on their chests. It was flaming red, dark blue, and yellow like sulfur. The heads of the horses looked like lions' heads. Out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of all the people were killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, sulfur that came out of the mouths of these horses. The power of the horses was in their mouths than in their tails. Their tails were like snakes whose heads could bite. That's the end. Ooh, that's a nasty critter, isn't it? Head like a lion, a tail like a snake. I put an image in my PowerPoint that I found, Firefox and I found, which is pretty dramatic and helps you get an idea of what these things might look like. When I was younger, there were often fire-breathing dragons in the movies that were made in the 1950s. In the 1950s, there was a lot of dragons and slaying of dragons and rescuing of maidens. So I have a mental picture of what these horses might look like, because in those movies in those days in the 50s, there were fire-breathing dragons. Fire came out of their mouth and they had tails like these guys. D on your outline. The people who were not killed by the plagues still did not repent. D, the people who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent. And your three blanks are, did not repent. They did not repent. Do you read that like I do? Repentance is what God is longing for from his creation. When you read that, doesn't it seem crystal clear that what God deeply longs for and desires is for people to repent and turn to him? They did not stop worshiping demons. They kept worshiping statues of gold, gods made out of silver, bronze, stone, wood, which cannot hear or see or walk. And that may seem odd to you, but it's really not that far-fetched when you look at what people worship in our culture today. I mean, they may be chrome, or they may be shiny, or they may be powered by a rocket engine or a jet engine, but there's things that we worship that are created things and long for and lust after. These people also did not turn away from their murders, witchcraft, sexual sins, and stealing. People don't usually fall into immorality and evil suddenly. You don't just fall into these things. It's been my experience personally and my observation that people slip into sin a little at a time, hardly realizing what's happening until they're in really deep. Any person who allows sin to take root in his life can find themselves in this mess. Anybody who allows sin in their life, this can happen. It's the spring in Illinois, so we're planting seeds and watering them in the dirt, and they'll grow to something. And sin is much the same thing. If you allow it to take root, it's going to produce something. This is how it seems to happen to me, and as I've seen it in others' lives. A temptation that is entertained today becomes a sin tomorrow. So you entertain a sin today, and it becomes, you entertain a temptation today, and it becomes a sin tomorrow. And take note, sin is entertaining. All the things that we see in our world that are sins are very entertaining to people. When you think about it, the gambling craze, sexual craze, I mean, it's entertaining. Then a habit the next day, then death and separation from God forever. So a temptation turns into a sin that turns into a habit, and then you're in deep. If one would think this could never happen, or I could never become evil like this, that's the first step towards a hard heart. People who think that could never happen to me, but that is the first step toward a hard heart. That prideful attitude, this could never happen to me. Please don't let this be you. Don't let that first step get away from you. These people in Revelation 9 did not repent. What could we do today? Well, you and I, our first step is to acknowledge our need and confess our sin to God. That's what we could do today, and that's always the first step, is acknowledge that you need a Savior, you need a Holy Spirit, you need deliverance. You acknowledge that, then you confess your sin. That's the way it all starts. So let's take a big step back and look at the last 2 years in our lives. The last 2 years. COVID-19 is a worldwide pandemic, right? How did the people in our time respond when God allowed COVID-19 to happen? Did we see repentance and a turning to God? Did we see that? When COVID hit and it was really nasty, did we see waves of repentance and turning to God? Or did we see a worship and a trust in our God of science? And make no mistake, science is a god. It's built on evolution and another group of human ideas. But when you worship and trust science above God, that is idolatry. Did we trust in the gold and the money of the God of government could provide for our salvation? Is that what we did? Well, when you look at it, that's where people put their trust. We'll get all these stimulus money and we'll be fine. We don't need to turn to God. The government, the God of government will give us gold and money and get us through. We don't need God to save us. The government will do that for us. Please, don't let yourself be cocky and full of pride, thinking we would not be like these people in Revelation chapter 9. Please, don't be cocky and full of pride and think we wouldn't do what they did. Because the last 2 years, we actually did what they did, or didn't do, as the case may be. And maybe if you are one who believes that you have God's seal of the Holy Spirit, please don't let yourself be cocky and full of pride thinking you have it made. If you believe you are born again, if you believe you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, don't get cocky and think, oh, that could never happen to me because I'm sealed. Don't let yourself do that. Live humbly and thankfully. Live a life of humility. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so delighted that you give us this book of Revelations, that you allow John to see these things. And like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, this stuff's a coming. So I pray that our hearts would stay true, our love would stay hot for you, and we thankfully praise you for that. But we also ask that your Holy Spirit would touch and turn hearts to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah.